Christmas.
Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
They are who we thought they were.
Welcome, welcome. We are Next Fan Up, by the fan, for the fan. My name is Mark Sitko. I am the Eagles super fan. With me today are two other super fans from the NFC East. We have Samuel, who is our Giants super fan, and we have Brian, who is our Cowboys fans. Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Mark. How's it going tonight?
It's going good. It's going good. And you, Samuel, how you doing?
What's wrong? It's all going good.
Awesome, awesome. Ready to get... Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Tonight we're going to do the NFC East preview. We're going to kind of just look at this division as we head into training camp. It's only weeks away. So excited, I can't even tell you. Madden Day is only like 6 weeks away. It's just getting better and better. It seemed like this offseason was so long, but we really are at the end of it. I mean, we are like, yeah, it is almost football time, guys. I am really excited. As we talk about all that, I mean, the big thing that happens right off the bat, right, as we're starting this offseason is the draft. I believe teams are built through the draft, largest impact on each of our teams. I just wanted to go around the circle and kind of see, how do you guys feel your team did in the draft? You guys, I'm going to start with Brian, just because, man, people are acting like you guys picked up three blue chip players, almost for free, some of them. So I'd love to, just hear what you're thinking about the draft. How did those players do in OTAs, and what are you expecting this year and in the future?
Yeah, it seems like you said, we kind of hit the lottery. We had our first round pick, Byron Jones, who kind of seems like a forgotten man right now with all the attention the other guys have gotten. I love Byron Jones. I love the versatility that he brings. We needed help desperately in our secondary. Our cornerback play has been just weak for the last couple of years. Morse Claiborne, who, in my opinion, is going to go down as the biggest draft bust in Cowboys history, probably. And he's hurt right now. And then Brandon Carr's situation up in the air. We needed a guy who could step in. And we all know Byron Jones, just an athletic freak, just put it down at the combine. But what I love is that versatility, is that we don't necessarily have to keep him at corner. There's a lot of talk that he's going to switch over and play safety. And the comp I've been getting is very Devin McCourty-like. I know Pod will enjoy that from his Patriots. But with everything else that's been going on, he's kind of been forgotten. He's been really solid in OTAs, and he's brought a very steadying presence to that secondary, and a very mature presence. I mean, the guy is on top of his stuff, and for all the character issues that I know we're going to get into, he's buttoned up as any guy we've brought in. But of course, the headlines really started with our second round pick, Randy Gregory. I can pretty much guarantee how it went down draft night, that Jerry Jones was fighting everybody else in that room at 27 to take Randy Gregory then, because there's no way he thought he'd still be on the board. But Stephen Jones and the rest of the cast of characters won out, and they went Byron Jones. So when Randy Gregory was still sitting there at the end of the second round, there was absolutely no debate. Jerry was going to get his guy. It's the ghost of Randy Moss again, where he sees this immense talent and he doesn't want to pass up on him like he did with Moss in 98. And that's haunted him ever since. So he took Randy Gregory. And from everything we've heard out here, Gregory has been buttoned up. He's been saying all the right things, doing all the right things. He did bash Whataburger. And for all my Texas people, they'll know that saying In-N-Out is better than Whataburger is kind of a Texas sin. So caught a little bit of flack for that. But if all you're catching flack for is your hamburger choices, you're doing a pretty good job when you're coming in with that level of scrutiny. I'm really hoping that that he can just keep his head on straight, that they keep that support system around him. They're giving him the Dez treatment. They gave him that 94, that all-important 94 of Charles Haley and DeMarcus Ware. They're trying to groom him the same way they did with Dez to keep his head straight and give him that support system so that he can succeed and not turn into a guy like Demetrius Underwood. He'll be a situational guy at first, purely in there to rush the passer. He has bulked up a little bit, which is something he needed to do coming out of Nebraska. So very excited to hear about that. And then, of course, the biggest one was getting Lael Collins. And basically, you know, just for free. And we're, you know, we're paying them nothing. And now we have potentially what we're calling a fourth first round talent on that line. But it's been interesting. He hasn't come in and dominated quite the way people expected. I think just because he has that first round grade, the expectations were really high. And I'm not sure that that was fair to him. He's competing with Ronald Leary right now for that left guard spot. And I don't think it's a guarantee that week one, Leo Collins is in there starting. They've been going back and forth. They're certain that Leo Collins at this point isn't going to play right tackle. He's not going to take over for Doug Free. But it's been an interesting battle, and we'll see how it shakes out. Obviously, they want Leo Collins to be the guy going down the road, but he might not be coming out of the block, and that's okay. Again, you know, to get that kind of bonus player, to get that bonus talent, we're really not giving up anything. I think one of the guys who's going to open some eyes was our fourth round pick, Damian Wilson, the linebacker. And he's kind of been called Anthony Hitchens 2.0. Very versatile, can move around and play all the positions, all the linebacker positions. And with the news that came down about Rolando McClain, we're going to see just how valuable that is. So he's a guy who hasn't been getting a lot of publicity, but he's a guy I'm very interested in. And I think could end up making a real impact by the end of this first season.
If you had to pick one of those guys, who's going to have, I mean, obviously it's probably going to be one of your top three boys. Who's going to be the best Cowboy, you know, the rookie MVP for the boys this year?
If everything goes as planned, it should be Byron Jones. I think we're hoping that we don't have to put Randy Gregory out there in such a huge role and have all these expectations put on him. Of course, part of that comes with the Greg Hardy situation and what kind of resolution, if we ever get a resolution with that. So we can kind of ease him into that role. I think we're expecting Byron Jones to be on the field a lot and to make a big impact in that secondary, especially with Morris Claiborne's injury. And we'll see how he moves around in the secondary where they play him. It's nice to have that versatile piece. So Leo Collins is kind of my third guy. If, you know, it'd be great if he starts week one. If not, I'm not going to be devastated by that. Again, they have that plan in place for him. So, but the guy I'm looking for is Byron Jones, and I think he'll have the biggest impact this first year.
Yeah, that seems so to me too. I think that's a good call. I am the most, it's between him and Randy Gregory for me. As you guys are having some suspensions and things, which we'll talk about later, I could see maybe Randy Gregory having this opportunity to somehow step forward in that defense and become something sooner. But between those two guys, one of them, I totally agree with you, is going to be the best guy. And man, like you said, this is bonus of Leo Collins. That is ridiculous. You guys are, yeah, I'm jealous. As we have almost no guards to start, you know, just, yeah, really jealous. So Samuel, tell me about your draft class. How did the Giants do? Who do you like that they brought in? Who do you see this year having some impact?
You know, the first round pick was Eric Flowers this season, which that was a position they needed to fix, but I don't think he was the guy. He's huge and he has the body for it. So if they can just teach him some of the technique, then he could be a contributor, but I don't think he's going to help them for this upcoming season. Moving into the second and third rounds, that's where I thought they found their value in picking up Landon Collins in the second. And I'm going to butcher his name, but Omagbi Adigizua from UCLA.
And those yes, it's very close.
Yeah,
I don't know how to say it, but you sounded right.
Those were guys that were going in the first round leading up to the draft, and they just kept slipping, and the Giants just saw the value in taking them. Landon Collins is going to come in from day one and be that in-the-box safety who helps them against the run, which they've just been horrendous on the past couple of seasons. He has a clear spot taking over Antrell's role coming down into the box. He can't really cover as well, but, you know, he's still young, and we have a lot of hope for him. The defensive end out of UCLA, he's just an athletic freak. He reminds a lot of people of Jason Pierre-Paul. And, you know, that's exciting because when the Giants are at their best, it's when they're rushing the passer, not giving him time to find the open receiver, which helps their secondary, which has always been a problem. We didn't have a fourth-round pick because we traded up to get Landon Collins. And then they took, you know, a couple of projects, safety out of Texas, Michael Thompson, who scouts are all over the place. I saw some scouts that say he can pan out. I saw some scouts that said he has no football IQ, but he's, you know, 6,200 pounds. He's the size you'd want from your free safety. Round six, we picked up a wide receiver who, you know, a big wide receiver. He's 6'2", he's 216. And the other wide receivers that they have are kind of small. I mean, Randall's not small, but Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham. So he's also a project and hopefully can one day turn into like a big possession receiver that they can use in the red zone. Overall, I would have liked to see them pick up a linebacker at some point, but they didn't. But I know I'm happy with the value we got in the second and third round, and hopefully Flowers can flourish into a starting lineman somewhere on the line one day. I don't know where, if they really know where he's going to end up, or if they really want to place him at a position and not give him the chance to, you know, play left and right tackle or left and right guard. I don't really know that they know what they're doing with him yet. So that'll be interesting to see as the season moves along.
Nice, nice, nice. Yeah, I have so many questions. It's funny hearing you guys talk about your teams. I immediately want to like ask questions about lots of things, but we have so many places to move as we move forward. Thank you guys for sharing about your draft class. With mine, with the Eagles, I mean, starting off first round, Nelson Aguilar, and I'm probably saying that wrong. I apologize. I need to hear more people say it before I really trust the right way. But Nelson seems really great. I'm very excited to have him on the team. He seems to be exactly what Chip's kind of looking for, just a very all on board kind of player. He's got good speed. He's got great hands. He's got a good attitude. We'll see how he does. Eric Rowe is going to be interesting. I was very excited about him to come in our secondary because our secondary was so poor. Right now they have him at cornerback. He probably will start, hopefully opposite Byron Maxwell, but I don't know if that's true. We just kind of have to wait and see if he can, you know, take that spot. Right now Nolan Carroll is running in that spot, so that'll be an interesting battle. But bottom line, similar to Lael Collins, it's just another person to put in the backfield for us, where even if he doesn't start, I'm excited that he's there. I'm excited that we have some depth at cornerback. We can bench somebody if they suck. That's great. That's a luxury we really did not have last year, so I'm excited about that. Jordan Hicks we picked up in the third round, typical, you know, Chip Kelly with the injured, broken ACLs, but a heart of gold. He's really great. He seems like a good guy. He's very athletic. He's very fast for the size. But, you know, once again, if he stays healthy, I think he's a great pickup. And I think the idea is that he would eventually replace D'Amico Ryans in that kind of role, the larger guy who's more of a run stuffer, as opposed to Kiko Alonso and Michael Kendricks, who we have these kind of super athletic, can cover everybody they need to, but maybe not as large to get off of guards and make those stops in the holes. Then we gave away our fourth and fifth round picks. We kind of were just like trading around and moving down. And eventually we ended up with two picks in the sixth, which was Jacory Shepard and Randall Evans, two cornerbacks. Obviously at this point they realized we need to do something more than just Eric Rowe. And so this is depth. From what I understand, people really like Jacory Shepard, and he's doing well enough that it's almost a given at this point he's going to make the team. Randall Evans is still struggling, but I mean, so many things can happen in training camp. I can't even speak to it now. I haven't been able, you know, I haven't seen a preseason game. There's not enough for me to really break down at all, but I'm excited to be just, you know, two more young cornerbacks. Again, depth in a place that we had none last year. Our seventh round pick, Brian Mahalik, is, like you were talking, just a physical, you were saying about, I believe it was in Dallas, just a physical specimen here, 6'9", 295 pounds, just a pretty huge guy from Boston College. Just, yeah, he'll play the interior part of our line, and I don't think he'll be on the field at all this year, but maybe he may get in a couple snaps. It's more, I think, a project for the future. He may even be practice squad material. I'm not sure. We'll just kind of, once again, see how all the preseason shakes out. But I'm excited about it. I think that it's pretty clear the person who's going to be the largest impact is Nelson Aguilar. And that's simply because without Macklin, I mean, he just has to beat out Cooper. And I think Jordan Matthews is going to be one of our star receivers. I think Huff might have a pretty good year. And then I think Nelson will be the third wide receiver. We'll see. But I think he's got an easy road to starting. And it's a offensive team. We should put up a lot of yards. Nelson should benefit from that. And hopefully he has something. I mean, I'm expecting similar to Jordan Matthews last year, somewhere in the 800 yards, you know, eight touchdowns would be awesome. Somewhere in that range. He could blow it out. It could be that he really jumps in faster and goes further, but that's realistically about where I think he'll be. And that'll probably be our strongest draft pick. So now guys, something that's come up with our division, and I think all the divisions, we've been talking a lot about the strength of different units. One of the last, I believe even last week, the Next Fan Up, we were talking about the idea of trios, teams that have a very good quarterback, wide receiver, and running back. And so this idea, I think, comes up a lot for us because we're super fans and we're proud of our teams, of which of these units do each of our teams have the best version of in the division. And so I just wanted to take some time on this podcast to kind of go around and look at them. We'll start with the biggest one because I think this is the most obvious one. You guys happen to have, each of you, a player that I think could be argued to be the best in that position. On one side, we have yours, Brian. We have Dez Bryant, who's been in the league a little while, still young, like not an old vet who's like waning. He's at his prime. He's a beast. I hate him. Dez Bryant as a wide receiver, possibly the best wide receiver in the league. On the other side, Samuel has this young stud who came in and just in like, did he play 13 games or something? I think he played 13 games and he put up like 1,300 yards. I call him ODB, Odell Beckham Jr. Incredible player. Could be the next Calvin Johnson. I mean, shit, who knows? So my question is, sorry, I don't know if we're allowed to cuss, but let it go. So my question is, what do you guys think? At that position, wide receiver, who's better? Not only which of those two players is better, but then I would love to hear your arguments about the stable of players behind them. Who's got the best depth as well at wide receiver? Let's start with the young kid. Let's start with the ODB. What do you think, Samuel?
Well, I think he's not the best wide receiver in the league yet, even. I'll admit that, but I don't think there's another wide receiver I would take over him once you consider age and contract at this point. He came in last year. He played 12 games. He had 1,300 yards. He had, what was it? It was 12 touchdowns. And this was when teams, after the first couple of weeks, were just throwing two guys at him. He was finding a way to get open. He makes all the catches you want to see. He goes up and gets it. He runs crisp routes and breaks away from cornerbacks. He really does everything. And one thing is, the one receiver that I think, if I was promised a full healthy season with no distractions and all the receivers would play up to their ability, I think Dez Bryant is actually the one receiver I would take over ODB. I don't know if that makes for a great argument. I just think Dez is a freak. But once you factor in how unstable that the situation has been with Dez since his time with the Cowboys, that's something that, I mean, I would take it into consideration, considering that when we had Plaxico Burress, you know, that whole thing happened. I just don't like players with off-field issues. I know that it's kind of, you know, cliche to say, but I just want my guys to come and compete and really do a great job. That being said, behind ODB is another impressive receiver. I mean, Victor Cruz is now behind ODB, which is crazy because last season Victor Cruz was the best wide receiver on the team, and now he's not even in the conversation, and he's coming off an Achilles injury, so we'll see what happens there. And Reuben Randall has been a serviceable third receiver. You know, nothing really special, but he catches the ball. He does drop it a little bit too much for my liking, but, you know, that's the Giants wide receiver, I think, along with the Cowboys, is near the top of the league and definitely the division.
Wow, wow, wow. So what do you think? I'll give you a chance to retort, Brian. What do you think about your Dez and your background?
Well, we're obviously nitpicking if we're trying to decide between Dez, and I still call him OBJ. He said he wants to be called OBJ. I call him OBJ. But we're nitpicking at that point. I think the Dez background thing has gotten so overblown at this point. I mean, we had the whole Walmart videotape thing going on a couple months ago, and that turned out to be a whole bunch of nothing. And we see him so animated, so demonstrative on the sideline. And we think back to when he first started his career, and he was having these issues, these off-the-field issues. But he's really become one of the team leaders in his own kind of super intense way. It's been funny that this whole offseason we're talking about his contract situation and the potential for Dez holding out and not playing week one, which if that was the game plan that him and Rock Nation came up with, they are executing it about as poorly as any threatened holdout I've ever seen, because Dez loves the game so much that he's going to voluntary workouts. He's going to OTAs without a contract. And my personal favorite was NBC came to the Cowboys and said, we want Dez Bryant for our week one promos for Sunday Night Football. Well, Dez, if you're not going to play, then I would think the answer would be no, but he turned around real quick and jumped in and was like, I'm all – Dez is going to be on the field. So I think all this holdout stuff is nonsense. I think anytime, probably this next week, we're going to get a deal done. All the off-the-field stuff, I think we just wrap a bow on it. And just that's Dez. That's just who he is. We love that intensity. We love that fight. I don't know if there's a scarier receiver with the ball in his hands than Dez Bryant. And you can make an argument outside of maybe Adrian Peterson. There's not a scarier football player with the ball in his hands than Dez Bryant. He is a monster to try and bring down. If we're talking about the receiver position as a whole, injuries notwithstanding, I've already made my love for Calvin Johnson very well known. He would still be my number one. Dez would be there at number two. I think the fact that I know NFL is doing their top 100 players, and Dez essentially, he came in at number 15 and was the number four receiver. And his response on Twitter was fantastic. He just dropped a simple LOL because he knew it was garbage. And I think everyone kind of looked at it was like, there's no way Dez Bryant is the fourth best receiver in the NFL. The Julio Jones thing, overblown. I can't believe they put him on top of him. But Beckham is coming. Beckham is coming. The reason we can't do that Dez Bryant class quite yet is because we've only seen it for 1 year, and we didn't even see it for a full season. He's dealing with that hamstring injury. And I heard, and maybe Samuel, you can help me out with this. I heard that that's not like 100% gone away. Still kind of lingering around. Have you heard something like that?
I've heard rumblings. I haven't heard him missing any of training camp. I heard he's going to be ready first week. If not first week, then soon after that.
Yeah,
And
also with that, they have, again, we're trying to come up with news here in June and July. They were talking about the whole he didn't take kindly to being roasted by the locker room. He might have a little diva in his personality as well, but there's nothing wrong. A diva in your wide receiver, I can personally admit that. But in terms of wide receiver groups, there's no comparison between the Cowboys and the Giants. The Giants have us beat hands down. A returning Victor Cruz. I still think Ruben Randall has some potential that he eventually is going to tap into. Whereas on our side, we have a banged up Terrence Williams, who, despite having 8 touchdowns last year, I'm still waiting on him. I'm still waiting for that for him to reach his potential. Now, granted, we weren't throwing it as much last year, so there wasn't as big of a need. But I think he's still got a ways to go. And then we've got Cole Beasley in the slot. And again, the Cole Beasley, Victor Cruz, there's no comparison there. The only leg up we have in our receiving core is at tight end. We still have Witten. He's still plugging along. Old reliable out there with Romo. So in terms of package, I definitely go Giants here over the Cowboys. But one-on-one, Dez is still my man. He is still number one in the division.
Tell me a little bit about Beasley. I was so happy when he fumbled that ball on Thanksgiving along the sideline.
Oh, I'm sure you
were. I hate him. Something about him. I don't know what it is. It's the pretty curly locks. But just tell me what is his – I'm just curious. He's kind of came out of nowhere for me this year. I had not really knew much about him and known much about him. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, this kid is pretty good. He's making plays. I hate him in Madden as well. Tell me, what is his – how is he thought of in Dallas? What do people like about him? What is his reputation?
He's just that quick little bug, and he's clutch. Whenever Tony needs a play and he doesn't go to Dez, it just seems like once a game or once every couple games, Beasley just comes up with that big play, and you look at him and his size and those curly locks, and you don't expect that out of him. But he has this toughness, this ruggedness, this underdog quality about him that certainly we enjoy. We don't get to play the underdog very often out here. So it's nice to be able to kind of have an underdog character to root for. And he's just he's a go-getter. He's fearless. And the way he'll go over the middle and just make plays when they need to be played or need to be made. He earned every bit of that new contract that he got in the offseason, and it was a very team-friendly contract, but I'm glad to see him sticking around. Him and Tony have definitely built a rapport these last couple years. So, he's been an integral part of our offense and one I'm excited to see for a couple years to come now.
No, he's great as a third receiver, even a fourth eventually if you do get enough people ahead of him. I totally agree. He's a great player to have with you. I look forward to playing against him in the future. So we look at these. I want to do the next kind of sections. I'd like to go unit by unit through some of these things, but I don't want to take as much time as we just did with the wide receivers. I just want to go a little bit rapid fire. So I'm going to bring up a unit, and if either of you guys want to chime in and like put your team up for one of the best, let me know. We'll start off one that I think is obvious between you guys, quarterback, Romo, Eli. Just shout them out. What do you guys think? Let's see if we're close at all. Romo. Eli?
Romo. It's got to be Romo.
Nice. Very, very nice, Sam. I'll give that up. That's nice. Running back, what do you guys think? I mean, is it clear, me, Murray? Do I get to take it here? Anybody want to put anybody up?
I mean, Murray, Matthew, Sproles, you're not going to get a better three than that.
No, it's pretty ugly, right? I mean, that might be the only one I get, so come on, give it to me.
Yeah. I think the only argument in the division is who's second. Is it Washington or is it New York? And I tend to think it's New York. I like Rashad Jennings, and then I like pairing Shane Vereen with them. It's a nice little 1-2 punch. And I think that overtakes what they have in Washington with Alfred Morris and then losing Roy Helu. So I think it's for sure Philly 1, and then I think Giants are coming in 2, Redskins 3, and we are a distant fourth.
Interesting. Yeah,
Yeah, sorry, go on.
No. Go ahead, Samuel. What were you going to say?
No. I think what the next group is going
to... Oh, exactly. Offensive line. So, if we jump to... I think, we're on the same page there, Samuel. If we jump to offensive line next, what do you guys think? So, obviously, Dallas is the one everyone loves, and then the media. Yeah. We'll see this year. We got the big test with little McFadden behind them. We got DeMarco. We'll see who does the 2,000 yards. But my question is, where are the Giants at, and where are the Redskins at? What do you think about your offensive line, Samuel? I'll give you a chance to talk, Brian. I don't mean to just shut you down, but I want to start with Samuel. What do you think about the Giants' offensive line?
That injury really killed us. But with Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Schwartz, and Newhouse, it's not terrible. If we get if everybody plays their best ability, we'll have a good offensive line. But there's so much potential for it just to get ugly really quickly. If Pugh can't deliver at left guard, if Flowers still needs time to develop, we're going to see a lot of Eli face this season if all that happens.
Obviously, with Lael Collins coming back to you, Brian, what do you want to say? I think you guys take it, right? Best offensive line, would you argue this?
Best offensive line in the division, best offensive line in the league. I mean, the superlatives have all been earned, yes. The best run blocking line, yes, we are.
So how many yards on the ground this year? Total, between, whatever little pack of wounded, weird backs you guys got. What are you guys going to put up? How many yards?
I still think we can hit 2,000. Now, how that 2,000 is going to be – how that 2,000 is going to be allotted, I still think Randall's the guy. But
tell
it's going to be
Randall
very much
– does Randall hit a grand?
I think Randall hits 1,000 with about 6 touchdowns.
Okay.
I'm about as high on him as – he's got the potential. He's ahead to get his – off-field stuff straight, stop stealing cologne, stop stealing underwear. He's shown on the field he can get it done. Granted, it's in a very small sample size, but that's all we've got to work with right now. But he is behind the number one run-blocking offensive line. Football Outsiders has him at 4.4 adjusted yards per rush. That's number one. Where I was very surprised in this, I looked up your Philly O-line. They were 29th last year in this same metric at 3.52 yards, adjusted line yards per rush. I was downright shocked by that. I thought y'all were better.
I don't think you realize for half the year we had most of our line missing. So we started linemen. So we had a there's no question. We had a horrible running year last year. I think a lot of that has to do with Shady though, dancing. If you go back and watch the plays, but regardless, I'm not bragging that our offensive line was awesome last year. We had way too many injuries. So that doesn't surprise me. But just to put that in perspective, I don't think that's coming out of nowhere. Sorry, Brian, I don't mean to cut you off, but
No. You're good. But I'll turn that back around on you. You've been giving me big talk all summer about DeMarco. What's his numbers are going to look like at the end of the year?
Oh, that's great. So I think he'll have at least, he'll have at least 1,500 yards. I'll be bold and say that. I think there's a chance he'll hit 2,000, but that's so bold. I can't say that. But he's going to hit at least 15. But I mean, we don't have many other people. Then, you know, maybe I think Matthews will have like 3 or 4. I'm not saying Matthews has a big, as well. I think he's going to be pretty small. And Sproles, I think, may not get many touches this year because of the two of them, unless one of them gets hurt. I think Sproles is going to be used far more as a passing weapon. He'll still get the ball every once in a while, a draw on a couple of little things. But I think Sproles is going to kind of shift his focus this year. But yeah, I mean, our offensive line, I think Jason Peters is pretty good. You know, I don't want to, you know, take anything from him. Our guards have to figure some stuff out. We have to see what's there. Kelsey, one of the best centers in the league, I would put him up. And then Lane Johnson, I think, is solid as a right tackle. So we have three major pillars there. As long as those three stay healthy, we're in good shape. The other guards, you know, we're going to see what happens. We have like four guys in rotation right now. And like I said, preseason is going to define that. I think Gardner is going to be the left guard because we like to run left behind Peters. And you know, Peters, you could just pull up sometime just for the joy of watching a badass offensive tackle. I know you guys, don't get me wrong, I know Brian, you have some badasses there too, but just to watch Peters downfield blowing people up, it's gorgeous. It's beautiful thing to watch, and I think a lot of people don't know that about Jason Peters. I would say he's the best left tackle in the league. He's waning, so it's hard to say he's keeping it up, but when he's playing at his best, I don't think there's anyone who does. There's no one who moves like he moves. He's like the Reggie White of the offensive line. Like, not only is he just huge and powerful, he will then be, like, running down and blowing your safety up because he's 20 yards outfield making a block. And, like, that shit is awesome. Again, with the cursing, but I love it so much. He's just an incredible player. And then Kelsey moves laterally, I think, better than any safety. And that's better than any center. And that's not set up for most teams. But for our team, what we do, we need the three interior linemen to be able to pull and pull like mofos. Like, they got to pull hard. And I don't think there's a better pulling center in the league than Kelsey. So typical to Chip Kelly, right? He's not going to have – I think we often are not going to have what people would say the best in the league, but we're often going to have what's best in the league for Chip Kelly. Like what he's trying to do, because he does something that's very different than so different than what Dallas does. I mean, Dallas, who was this talking about? Maybe Andrew Brandt was talking about your team the other day on like Russ Tucker, his podcast. And he was just talking about the idea that like what's amazing about Dallas's offensive line isn't what they're able to do. It's the fact that they do that without any tricks. They just line up and beat you. They're not doing something weird. Here we go in there, like what's going on? No, they're just like going to stand up and just pound on you. And that is, you know, that's why I think I will have to give it to you for best offensive line. Nobody other than you guys can just do it. Like, no matter who you're facing, you don't have to do some weird new program or some new plays for that week. It's just straight up like, no, we're going to do what we always do, and you can't stop it. That's like Madden Gold. Like, I know I'm bringing up Madden a lot tonight. But, yeah, man, when you're like playing Madden, you can just grind on somebody like that. You're guaranteed to win the game. If I'm averaging 5 yards a carry, you're doomed. You're doomed. And I think you guys can do that. So, yeah, but I'm very curious to see which of the back, you know, people you're able to actually get up and make happen. I will definitely relinquish to you. And I'm just very curious. I wish we had our Redskins superfan here, because I don't know as much about that offensive line. And all I know about the Giants offensive line is what I see in the media of like the injuries that are happening and what they're trying to do. I'd love to bring up the tight end, guys. You mentioned real quick Witten. I would put Ertz up against Witten, but I know he still needs another year or two to prove it. But I do think he's accelerating fast. And Witten is waning, but we'll just see when they pass each other. What are you guys doing at tight end over in New York, Samuel?
Same as last year. We have Denell to catch the ball, and we have Adrian Robinson to block. Neither of them are really moving the needle very much. You know, serviceable guys. Nothing fancy.
Yeah. Interesting. For a long time, Witten would be the one player I would take on the Eagles from your team, Dallas. What do you guys have behind Witten? What else is going on in that stable of tight ends?
Well, we've got Gavin Escobar, who was a second-round pick a couple years ago, and we're still kind of waiting on him to develop and take that mantle from Jason Witten. Now he's in a competition with James Hanna, who is essentially our kind of blocking tight end who occasionally will go out. for passes. But they're competing for that second tight end spot. So it's a little disappointing to know we spent that second round pick and we haven't gotten that return on our investment quite yet. Of course, we've given up on a tight end a little too early before, as Samuel knows, with Martellus Bennett, who turned out to be quite talented. But yeah, I'd like to see some more development out of Escobar. But until then, Witten's still the guy. Witten and Romo and that bromance is going on for years and years.
Nice. I'm impressed that he keeps going. I mean, Witten just won't stop. And he, every single time we play you, he does something that he infuriates me. He makes a third down or something that is just, I can't believe that he pulls off. He is still a playmaker, and it's very impressive. As we move to defense, guys, the game really changes. I think we had some good competition and arguments, right, for the offensive different groups. Some of our defenses suck. So let's start. I'll start with defensive line because I think that's one the Eagles might actually win. For me, with the Eagles defensive line, with Fletcher Cox, I think he's an incredible player. It's not a stat-driven position, but if you watch him take up double teams and triple teams, you're very impressed. He's a beast. And then I think we have, you know, Vinnie Curry's great, Cedric Thornton, Brandon Graham. We'll see how he does this year. But even better, you know, obviously Connor Barwin had an excellent year last year. I think our front four, five in our case, because we run the 3-4, is pretty good. But, you know, anybody else? What do you guys, who wants to put up a D-line? Does anybody feel one of your D-lines is competitive in that way?
I mean, I think we might go. You go first, Brian.
We could be. We have this huge range of outcomes with who we've brought in, with Greg Hardy. Again, not knowing when he's going to get on the field, whether it's going to be 10-game suspension, 2 games, we don't know. And that's going to really define our defensive line early on. We had no pass rush from our front four last year. And so I'm hoping Hardy can get on the field. I'm hoping Gregory can provide some impact. The guy I'm looking at is DeMarcus Lawrence, second-round pick from last year. We traded up to get him. We didn't get him for most of the year because he was hurt, but we saw in the playoffs, especially in that Lions game, that potential is there. I think he's in for a surprisingly big season. At least I hope so, because if not, we don't have much else there. We could very easily be the worst group again, and we could be the worst group by far if the chips don't fall right.
Wow. Samuel, what do you think? How's your D-line?
I mean, our D-line is all right. I just wanted to bring some attention to the Redskins. I mean, we know that super fan wasn't able to join us tonight. But with Paella, Knight, and Hatcher, Kerrigan, you know, I mean, Kerrigan's an outside linebacker, but he rushes the quarterback. That's a pretty good unit, and I think one of the only units they have that's respectable and, you know, something that I think is going to be a strength for them. But, you know, the Giants were still at Jason Pierre-Paul if, Jonathan Hankins, it's nobody who really gets me excited unless Pierre Paul goes back to Pierre Paul 4 years ago and just, you know, did a terror for everybody in the league.
Yeah, it's really crazy with JPP, man. I can't tell you. So JPP went onto your team, was just dominant. We passed on JPP to take Brandon Graham. Philly then, what happens in Philly? Philly is full of a lot of very, it's excitable. I don't know what the right word is. I don't want to offend anybody in Philly. But so they get real hyped because we have Brandon Graham, you have JPP. Clearly JPP has a much better career right off the bat. Brandon Graham's kind of in the background. He has to go through a whole shift from a 4-3 end to a 3-4 outside linebacker, which doesn't help. And he is just now, after years of being told he should get out of the Eagles and he's a total bust, he's finally getting his chance to start as JPP is in this questionable place. And it's just, I don't know, I only bring it up. It's fascinating to watch the trajectory of an NFL career. And these two guys who are both high picks at the same position went totally different ways. And I don't know, it's just a fascinating world, man. These guys, they live a crazy life where they have so little control other than just trying to do what they do as best as they can. And hopefully the chips fall on the right line, you know? It just makes me feel for both of them at this point. Like what Brandon's been through and what JPP's now going through. I'm like, God, both these guys worked so hard. They're both incredible players. And it's just, man, fate or luck and so many things. But yeah, so the D-line's really interesting. These other ones, now we get into full on. I don't think any of us are going to be super proud. Linebackers, cornerbacks, and safeties. Does anybody want to take one of those groups and say my team is good in one of those areas? I was looking at your lineups. We all suck, right? Like, I'm not saying suck. Like, my linebackers are okay. I like D'Amico Ryans, and I like, obviously, Kiko could be incredible. Kiko Alonso and Michael Kendricks. I do like those guys, but they're not. You know, we're not talking Patrick Willis and Bowman. Like, we're not talking that kind of thing. Do any of you guys have any of those? I mean, I know mine, corners and safeties, I can't even begin to talk. Do you guys have any corners or safeties, like a lineup that you would brag about? Where are we at, guys?
Well, if we can pick the top 75% of our secondary, I like Rodgers, Camardi, Mukamara, and Tremaine McBride as the three cornerbacks. And then I have high hopes for Landon Collins. But when your free safety is Taylor Cooper, it's not great. So I just think they're all not – like none of the secondary linebacker groups are very impressive on any of the teams, really.
Yeah. What do you think, Brian? Any of these units, are you impressed with your team? I mean, obviously you got Sean Lee. I like Sean Lee. But once again, it's not a whole unit, right?
Yeah, if we could guarantee that our entire linebacking core would stay intact from week one to week seven, I'm excited. Lo and behold, today we find out we're not even going to have our middle linebacker the first 4 weeks of the season because Rolando McClain decided to go all Rolando McClain on us and get suspended for drugs. I believe it is marijuana that they said it was.
It's 4 weeks, right?
And
I know we're not playing.
It's 4 weeks.
McClain now misses the Eagles game. That's great, but
yeah, he misses that game. And honestly, like, it was the most unsurprising headline here ever. He was already docked 4 game checks for something he did last year, and now he's going to actually be suspended for those first 4 games. Rolando McClain is great on Sundays. I love watching him fly around to the football, and he very just instinctual. If we could just get Rolando McClain on to act on Sundays to act that way the rest of the week, we'd be okay. But he is a complete headache. He doesn't want to practice, and then we have issues like this coming up. So there's no guarantee what you're going to get out of him. That's why no one paid him. That's why he came back to us on just a 1 year deal. Luckily we did sign Jasper Brinkley. We got ourselves some insurance, but, and then with Sean Lee is fantastic, but you never know how many games you're going to get out of Sean Lee before he blows out another knee. It's tough. So, I mean, we look like a MASH unit, you know, halfway through the season. We had a lot of depth last year in Durant and Bruce Carter, and those guys are now gone. They've made their money. So, and there's nothing to be real excited about in the secondary. Brandon Carr certainly hasn't lived up to his contract. Skandrick's our best guy, but he shouldn't be on the outside. He needs to be a slot corner. We just don't have anybody else to play the outside. Like I said, I hope that with health that they can move him to safety, because between Wilcox and Barry Church, again, nothing to get excited about. Barry Church is kind of outperformed my expectations, but if you're playing fantasy and you see any of our defenses and you have passing games, just, you know, they're going to go nuts. So it's brutal. I do have to say, I loved the Landon Collins pick from the Giants. I think an in the box safety like that, fits perfectly in this division where it is so run heavy. It's the same reason I love the Terrence Knighton move for Washington. You know, this division probably more than any other is going to be run heavy. Get guys in there who can stop that. You know, our division, I don't think it's going to take a lot to win this division this year. So make those moves that can stop the strengths of these other teams. So I really like the Landon Collins pickup. I think he's going to be a great addition to that secondary. And Lord knows we don't have very many good additions in this secondary to talk about. So.
No, man, crazy. And it's scary in our right to have bad cornerbacks in our division is scary when you have to face people like Dez Bryant and people like ODB. I mean, OBJ, it is really dangerous not to be able to cover. I mean, we need much better safety in corners play. So just fascinating. So guys, we're about to wrap up the show. We don't have a whole lot left. I have a couple last little questions for you guys. Starting first with you, Samuel. Do you think Eli is about to play his last year in New York, or are you guys going to extend him? When is that extension coming? How long as a fan do you think you want to see him extended for? Like, what, you know, how many more years do you want to see him playing for you? Yeah, if you could just talk a little bit about that and how that's tied also to Coughlin. I mean, is Coughlin going to survive Eli's retirement and getting a new quarterback? Yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts, Samuel.
Yeah, I mean, for some reason, just like I haven't really been thinking much about Eli being gone. I just kind of assumed he would play until he was – I don't see him going to another team unless the Giants go into full rebuild mode, because I think what the Giants has always been, let's make it to the playoffs and hopefully Eli gets hot. So they're not really looking for – to make a change there if they can, you know, make the rest of the roster serviceable. So I really think it's going to be interesting. I wouldn't mind seeing Eli, you know, play out his career in New York. I think it's something to be said that I don't think he really wants to move. You know, he had a life in Jersey. He's been with one team his whole career after forcing his way out of San Diego. He has some Super Bowls here. I think he has enough equity that no matter really what the terms of that extension are, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Even though, you know, NFL fans have been getting smart in terms of contracts and what players are worth and how to create championship teams, I still think he finishes his career as a Giant. I know that's not the interesting thing to say. I just think that that's what's going to happen.
No, I hear. I mean, the Super Bowls could be the key. But all I got to say is I felt very similar about Donovan McNabb. And then on Easter Sunday, he got traded to the friggin' Redskins. So, like, you know, crazy stuff happens. I mean, Peyton Manning didn't play out, you know? Joe Montana. Yeah. So many of the greatest quarterbacks of all time didn't play out, you know? Brett Favre. So I think the likeliness is that he won't play the rest of his time in the Giants.
If that's the case, I would like to at least, you know, maybe trade him to a team that's just missing the quarterback for, you know, at least something. I wouldn't want to see him just leave for nothing if that's the case.
No, I felt that way about McNabb. I felt he was treated poorly as he was kind of shuffled away. I thought it was time, but you know, the NFL is just brutal. So I hear you, man. I definitely hear that. And I'd be very curious to see how that goes down. I'm curious what Eli has left. I think he still can do it. He obviously can sling the ball very well. And he throws a back shoulder pass that I have not seen an Eagles quarterback throw ever. I don't know if I've ever seen that from an Eagles quarterback, yeah. What Eli can do it. So, you know, I've seen Tony do it, by the way, not to say Brian, you know, your guy can't do it either, but Eagles quarterbacks haven't seen that in a long, long time. So yeah, very interesting. So Cowboys, Brian, do you want to talk any more about Dez missing OTAs? You mentioned earlier you wanted me to bring that up. Is that anything you want to talk any more about, Dez missing those OTAs? Is there anything to worry about there? His own contract extension? You kind of covered it, right? Is there anything else you wanted to say there?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I said, the deadline's the 15th. I would be shocked at this point. It sounds like they're so close. They're so close that they're taking the July 4th weekend off, both sides. Mm-hmm. And they don't feel like they need to negotiate, to communicate, because they've got this about as wrapped up as I think they can at this point. It's been a good opportunity for guys to get reps. While Dez is gone, Terrence Williams being one. But the guy who's really turned some heads is Devin Street. He was a fifth round pick of ours last year. And they're saying his upside could be what they've expected out of Terrence Williams this entire time. So it's going to benefit the entire team to a point that Dez wasn't there. And it's going to help us with some depth that we could certainly use at the wide receiver position. But at this point, I don't think there's anything in my mind to tell me that Dez won't be a long-term deal by the 15th, and that come the first week, he's going to be wearing that 88 on the field and circles around a Giant. So Dez, he'll be there. He will be there.
I feel the same way. I think there's no chance he misses. I do have to say, though, missing, you know, not negotiating over the 4th of July, I'm pretty sure, I don't know this for sure, but I'm pretty sure in Texas, America's real big. They reel into America. So I'm pretty sure the 4th of July is a real big holiday down there. So, that would be like sacrilegious Texas to, like, negotiate.
I mean, they love America. They love Texas more down here, but
Texas Day? Is there, like, a day that's, like, Texas Day? Do you guys have a day that you celebrate as, like, you know, is there anything like that that's, like, a Texas state day? No?
Yeah, like I've got a government job, and we have like this Texas Independence Day, and I'm not originally from Texas, so when this is how you can tell I'm not from Texas, because I have no idea, and they'll probably kick me out if they find out I don't know.
Somebody's gonna be mad and write in about this, but let us know, guys. Yeah. Write into nextfanup at Gmail, I believe it is. You can also follow us on Twitter at nextfanup. Tell us what is the Texas Day of Independence. I knew they'd have one. I knew they had a special Texas Day. Mm-hmm. I believe someday that Texas is going to put up walls and like fight off the rest of us. It's coming. We'll see how it goes. But I love Texas.
I think they're already starting. I really do.
Speaking of the whole love of their love of American fireworks, I was driving through Texas on my way moving out to the West Coast, and I picked up some fireworks there that I'm hoping to use maybe in the next couple of days. We'll see how that goes. But I got to watch what I say, because it's real dry here in California, and they got to watch out. They're not really into that. I'll be very careful, though, people. I'm not going to burn anything down, I promise you. I live near the beach. It's going to be out over the ocean. It's going to be beautiful. But regardless, awesome fireworks in Texas. So, guys, I think we're going to wrap up there. This was a really great show. I really appreciate you guys being here. I'm so sorry we couldn't have the Redskins super fan. The main reason I'm missing him is because DeSean Jackson has a new reality television show, which I can't believe I'm actually promoting on a podcast. But, you know, watch that little like lady body gangster boy. I love DeSean. He talks in the episode. I haven't seen it yet. I just have quotes from beat writers in Philly. But he openly talks mad trash about the Eagles. And then they interview his mom and his girl, and they both say that DeSean really messed up in Philly, and their whole focus is to make sure he doesn't blow it again. Oh, gold. Just golden. I love it. That's so funny to me.
I can't imagine a better premise than that, trying to rein in DeSean Jackson. That's going to be hilarious. Oh, boy.
At least they're bigger than he is. I think that helps. You know, they're both taller and larger than he is, so that helps a little bit. But regardless, that's for you, Drew, our super fan in the Washington team. I will not say their name. Yes, that is for you. We wish we were here to talk about your little DeSean. Oh, man. Ugh, there's not an ex-Eagle I dislike more. But all right, guys, thank you guys so much for being here for the show. This was a really great, great piece. I am going to wrap it up here. Like I said, if you want to follow us, look for us at Next Fan Up. Thank you, Brian and Samuel, for being here. We are Next Fan Up, the podcast for the fans, by the fans. We will see you later.
I want people that want to win.
Yeah.